This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatment to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple, and I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 45% on select styles. Rules and restrictions may apply.
And suddenly it hits me, I forgot to ask Tim to get If Ever I Cease to Love ready to play. Can you find that somewhere, Tim Zimmer, Manning Master Control? We are honored to have the King and Queen of Carnival with us. I guess protocol will dictate the Queen first. I introduce Queen first, I would think. Her Majesty Tatum Lady Reese. Good morning. Welcome.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
And Howell Crosby, Rex, King of Carnival 2025. How y'all doing? All right?
Great, Tommy. Thank you for having us. We're excited to be here.
I'm excited to have y'all, as I am every year. And as I said before we went on, nobody is more nervous in this room than me right now because I'm the guy on the street. I'm not a member, Rex. You, young lady, Your Majesty Tatum, tell me about you. Tell me how did you find out that you were going to become the Queen of Carnival?
Well, I was studying abroad in Rome around this time last year, and my mom came to visit me. And her last night in Rome before she had to go back to New Orleans, we went out for dinner, and my dad FaceTimed me wearing his Rex mask, which I didn't think anything of because that's kind of his humor. So I just assumed he was being funny. And then they handed me a box, which usually has the Rex ladies pin, which they hand me every year. And I guess it was their way to tell me, oh, we're sorry that you missed Mardi Gras, so here's a ladies pin. When I opened the box, there was an inflatable crown inside of it. And I still didn't understand what was going on. I thought that they had gave me an empty box. So I put the crown on, and then it started to hit me. And I just realized, oh, I think I know what this is for. And they... finally said, will you be our 2025 Queen of Carnival? And a lot of happy tears were shed, and I think the Italian waiters were a little confused on what was going on in the moment, but it was a really great day.
Were you shaking a little bit?
I was a little nervous. I was just very confused. I did not really expect it to be me, and I just was so excited when it happened.
Now, when you said your dad's mask, your dad is a former Rex, right?
Yes, he was Rex in 2022, and he is a Rex lieutenant, so he was wearing his lieutenant's mask.
And tell me about the trip home. Were you excited?
I was super excited. I was super nervous because once I touched down in America, I knew that the official royal duties had to start. But I was prepared and I was ready for it.
And when was that you found out?
I found out in March last year.
Ooh, so
it's
you had
almost
to sit on that for a while.
It's almost been a year. Yes.
So what about the secrecy of that? Were you able to tell your friends or not? Tell people where you go to school.
I go to the University of Arkansas. I'm a senior there right now. This is my last semester. It was easy to not tell my college friends because Arkansas doesn't really understand what Rex and what Mardi Gras secrecy is. So that was pretty easy. With family and friends here in New Orleans, it was a little bit more difficult, but I think everyone kind of respects the secrecy and really appreciates that tradition. So it wasn't too difficult to keep it a secret, but towards the end, it gets a little bit harder because people start to ask more often.
Did they understand what was?
I think the people in New Orleans have a better grasp of it, but the Arkansas and my college friends have no idea of what any of it is.
Ben Dupuy, who is here with the organization, is the man when it comes to protocol who keeps me from committing too many faux pas. Would it be permissible to ask the Queen to do the Arkansas cheer or not?
Very appropriate.
Let's hear it.
Oh, I'm so excited. All right, everyone wants to join in with me.
Yeah, how do y'all do? I've never been to an Arkansas game in Arkansas. How do y'all do it?
I'll do it one time. You usually do it three. So it goes, ooh, big suey. And then I'll do it two more times. And then you go, Arkansas Razorbacks. So we do that at every sporting event, and pretty much any time you ever ask me to do it, I will do it. So I'm very glad.
You even do it at the LSU games, young lady? Your Majesty, I'm sorry.
I went to the LSU game, and I called the Hogs.
Did you?
The LSU game.
Didn't LSU win that game by a lot?
You know,
I think they did. Yeah, that's a
they
yes.
did
yeah,
win
but,
it by a lot.
You know, but
like every other game that Arkansas played this season, but, you know, we're the Heartbreak Hogs, and I still have a lot of love for my team, and we always have baseball season. So.
You know, we always razz other SEC schools, but what's Arkansas like? I'm just curious.
Fayetteville is beautiful.
And the school, too. You know what I mean? The university. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So Fayetteville is a beautiful place in general. The Ozark Mountains are beautiful, mm-hmm. and just that whole northwest area. The University of Arkansas is very fun. It's very different from, you know, maybe LSU or anywhere else in the SEC. It's mostly local, mostly Arkansas people, and if not Arkansas, Texas. So it's kind of the majority of where my friends are from. And Arkansas does not have a NFL or NBA or any professional sports team. So the whole state is just super, super big Arkansas fans. That's kind of like their love,
Ooh.
Their pride and joy.
How do you do it?
Big Suey.
you are involved in addition to hogs with horses as well, right? You have an equine kind of
yes.
History?
I developed an interest and a passion for equine science and the equine industry in college.
For my West Bankers, those are horses.
Yeah.
So
I developed a passion for horses in college. I didn't really have much of an opportunity to pursue that while living in suburban New Orleans. Mm-hmm. So I really took advantage of that when I got to Arkansas, with it being such a large agricultural school and a large agricultural state. So I volunteered for Equestrian Bridges, which is a equine therapy facility in Rogers, and I worked for them for a really long time, and it was an amazing and wholesome and fulfilling experience. And then I interned for Gail Benson at her thoroughbred broodmare farm in Paris, Kentucky for a summer, and that was an insane and amazing experience and unforgettable.
What was so insane and amazing about it?
I mean, I wasn't familiar with the racehorse industry or the thoroughbred industry, and it is just a whole new world, and it's just so interesting with the vet appointments. So I watched surgeries. I watched racehorses train on the track at Churchill Downs. I went to Louisville, as you say, as the Kentucky people
right.
call it.
Louisville? Louisville.
And I went and watched the racehorses train. I took care of baby foals, which, you know, they're really difficult, but really
How big is a foal? About the size of a Great Dane, German Shepherd, what?
Oh, much larger than that.
Bigger, really? Okay.
It's maybe as tall as me, if not a little bit
really?
Taller.
Really? I had no idea. Tell me about with the kids with disabilities, too, about how that program works, because it's got to be very rewarding to do that. And explain how the horse interacts with the kid and the kid with the horse.
So it is a nonprofit, and it's all charity. So it is usually for kids who have who are like autistic or on autistic spectrum. A lot of them are nonverbal, so a lot of times we've had kids say their first words while on top of a horse.
Wow.
So it's more than just you ride a horse around for a little bit. They have activities where it's kind of like they're teaching them to assign colors or assign words with different objects. So it's like class, but you're on a horse. So we've had kids say their first words. We've had kids laugh or smile for the first time in ages, and there's been a lot of tears, happy tears shed for moments like that. I've seen parents just completely feel so happy and just tell us how that equine therapy has changed their child's lives, and it's just very fulfilling and super humbling to experience that and see kids.
I wish this was TV, because you're a very beautiful young lady, but to see your face light up when you talk about it is amazing. Let's move on to His Majesty King of Carnival. Howell Crosby. How are you doing, sir?
Great. Wonderful.
Tell me a little bit about your history with the Rex organization, because it's amazing that you go from being inside of the Boeuf Gras to being king of Carnival. Tell me how that started.
My dad was in Rex, so I'm a second-generation Rex member, and they were looking for young teenage boys to animate the floats back then, so I was at my dad said, would you like to be an animator? And I said, sure. So for three Mardi Gras, I had the pleasure of being inside the Boeuf Gras on Mardi Gras Day, pulling the string that moved the butcher on the back. And great, great experience. I loved it.
What year was that?
Probably 1972, 73, and 74. And they paid me a whopping $5 to do that. So that was big money back then.
And then you invested it wisely, right?
I did, yes. And now I'm...
In a six-pack of beer.
Yeah, that will give me that, right?
Yeah. No, so you're just sitting there pulling the string up and down? Is what you're
doing? It went side to side, and there were two of us in there. So a really good friend of mine, Robert Pratt, and I, we did it all together, and we'd take turns pulling the string, and then one would get tired, the other one would go in there, and we'd do it the whole route.
For those that might recognize your name, you were on the city council for a while, right? And that takes me to after Katrina and some of the work that the Rex organization did, and I want to get into that
sure.
if I can, please.
Absolutely. After I served briefly on the city council in 1999 and 2000, great experience, and then after Katrina, the Rex organization was looking for a way to help the city recover, and we came up with the Pro Bono Publico Foundation, and I was fortunate enough to be asked to be part of that, and I set up the foundation with a bunch of other individuals. But it had three purposes. Each one was tied to one of our colors. Purple was for education. Gold was to bring our first responders back, to help them get back. And green was obviously environmental, to help clean up the city. And it was an outpouring of a lot of support from all our members and even non-members who wanted to be involved in that. And at the time, you know, we accomplished all three goals. I'm not sure those at the time realized how big the purple portion of that, the educational portion, would be. We had our hopes, but in the last 20 years, we have contributed over $15 million to the public schools in New Orleans. Last year was 1.2, and that doesn't even include all the members who are on the various boards and do things beyond that. So we're very proud of that. We hope it continues to grow and help the city.
Ben said he listens every day, and I often say nothing just happens, whether it's setting up chairs at a PTA meeting or whatever it is. Nothing just happens. Somebody has to be behind it. And I think a lot of what you guys do with the Pro Bono Foundation, I think that flies beneath the radar. And I know y'all don't like to talk about it. You just like to deal in results and getting stuff done. But I think you deserve the credit for doing the good that you do.
Well, thank you. And I like to call it beyond that, because if you look at all the individual members and you ask them what boards and commissions and everything you support and serve, and you know, I like to call it the Great Rex Multiplier, because it's just not our foundation. Mm-hmm. It's our members out there in the community doing good, because you know, it's important for everybody to be involved and try to make this the best city it can. It's a great city, and we all love it, and we'll do anything we can to help it be better.
And it's only going to be as good as all of us collectively make it, whether it's at this level, that level, whatever level it is. We'll pick it up here. We come back talking to His Majesty and Her Majesty. I don't know, Ben, am I saying that right or not? Yeah, he gives me a smirk and a nod, so I guess I am. Their Majesty is the King and Queen of Carnival Rex 2025. Tommy Tucker back in a flash, WWL. I'm going to tell you what, with all the former Rex royalty we have in here, we have more crowns than a dental office. James Reese joins us now, who is the father of the Queen of Carnival, who is a member of the Rex, an official of the Rex organization. You guys are doing something special, James, with the, I guess, the Bourbon Street attack that happened on January 1st.
We are. We're very proud to, along with a lot of the other parading crews this year, display on our King's Float a symbol in remembrance of the 14 lives that were lost in that horrific attack. On either side of His Majesty's float this year is a placard displaying the American flag and the flag of our city of New Orleans with 14 fleur-de-lis for each of the lives lost. And it's a small token, our small way of showing the city that we have not forgotten what has happened and transpired on that horrible day, and that we know that the families are in our thoughts and prayers.
I'm going to tell you, that would be an awesome... You know, I always think of fundraising, not to have to tell you guys how to raise money or anything, but just for efforts, but a pin or a T-shirt or something, that would be an awesome
It's a great
some
idea.
Some kind of remembrance. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. Let's talk about His Majesty Rex and your chickens, because I saw somebody over the weekend talking about the price of eggs. I forgot who it was, but they said that on Amazon you could order chickens or you could order eggs, and it'd be interesting to order both and see which one came first, which I thought was pretty clever.
Yeah, that's right? A great one, yeah.
But tell me about how'd you get into the chicken raising business?
Yeah, I'm originally
not business,
from,
but
I'm originally from Mississippi, so we grew up with a lot of livestock. Chickens was one of them, turkeys, cows, horses, and I was president of Green Market, which is the market umbrella that runs all the farmers markets around the city, and one of the vendors, Heather with Jonesdale Farm in Ponchatoula, I'd always buy her eggs, and I was telling her about how I had chickens and turkeys as a child, and she goes, well, they're great pets. You should get some. So I was able to get three hens from her, and I started with a small coop. Now I have a massive coop with seven chickens, and they're
uptown,
all,
I presume?
Uptown, New
yeah.
Orleans. No roosters. You can't have a rooster.
No.
And I probably have the price per egg down to about $56 an egg.
There
so I don't
go.
Recommend it for economic purposes, but they make wonderful pets. My grandchildren and children love them. They help me take care of them, and they're great pets. But
very labor intensive or not?
Not too. I mean, if you don't mind cleaning a coop about every week or two, no, they're pretty easy pets.
You see, now that's hard for most people to imagine His Majesty Rex, King of Carnival, cleaning a chicken coop, but it happens. Right?
It happens, and I feed them. I spoil them, as my wife would say. I make them breakfast every morning. I cut up fruit and vegetables. And
do you really?
They like Mexican cheese that I get at Costco. They love that, and so I figure what they're eating, I'm going to eat. But we have a lot of fun with them. My grandchildren will pick them up, walk around with them. It's a really nice, if you're committed to it and dedicated like I am, it's great.
Somebody here used to raise chickens and they would feed them oyster shells, or maybe everybody does that, but the egg had a distinctive flavor.
You do that so that it gives them the calcium for their shells to make them harder. And so you do. You have crushed up oyster shells and you give to ingrate little rocks that they need. But I love it.
What's it mean to you to be Rex? First of all, as far as everybody knows, everybody's still going to be on the throne and on the float tomorrow and so forth? As far as I know,
yes.
Nobody nodding their head? Yes, that's
I'm
good
being
news.
Positive, yeah.
There you go. You got to stay positive. So what's it going to mean for you? Because you come from a long line of Rex members in your family, right?
Not too long. No. It was just my dad, and I had the pleasure of being an animator, which kind of hooked me.
I guess
me.
This would confuse me, right? You come from a long line.
The Queen does.
The Queen does, yes. Okay.
So my dad was a lieutenant, and I was asked to be a Duke back in 1981, which I enjoyed. And then I had two sisters that were maids, and one of our sons had the honor of being a page one year in the parade, 1999. And then our daughter was a maid, and our youngest son, Billy, was a Duke. So we've been very fortunate to, in that regard as far as participating in the Rex pageantry. But this is the first Rex, but my whole family's proud. I keep getting text messages and emails. And
how'd you find out?
Well, actually, my wife and I have been married 40 years, and we were on a...
Congratulations on that alone, let alone being Rex.
So we were on a bucket list trip that we've been wanting to take a cruise on the Rhine River from Basel, Switzerland to Amsterdam, and we were in Bopard, Germany, of all places, getting ready for dinner. And I got a text from the captain of Rex, because I'm the lawyer, the legal counsel for Rex, saying, can you meet me on this day? We have an issue with the roof. It leaked and it's caused damage in the den. And I said, yeah, I will just have gotten back, so I may be a little jet lagged and everything, but I'll meet you at the den. So I went to the den and the captain met me, and we walked into the lieutenant's room and the floor was a mess. It had buckled from water damage. And he goes, if you think this is bad, you should see what happened in the king's room. And so we walked into King's room, and I was expecting to see more damage, and there were these Rex officials. And on the wall in the King's room were all the portraits of the former Kings of Carnival, and they had the spot for 2025, and they said, well, we're looking.
StreetEasy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omicid, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at omicid.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
All right, everybody, it's here. The March to Spring Training and Opening Day is officially upon us. Hey, I'm Rob Bradford from Baseball Isn't Boring, and we'll have you covered every single day with instant reactions to late-breaking signings, determining which players are, yes, truly in the best shape of their lives, and behind-the-scenes stories from all the excitement and intrigue that spring training brings. Follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Looking for somebody to go photograph, go here. And I thought they were asking me for a recommendation, and I was saying, well, you have a lot of great memories. What about this person, that person? No, we're thinking about you. And I said, well, that's so exciting. Is that a yes? And I said, oh, that's a big yes.
That's
I'm ready.
Awesome.
So that's.
But there was damage, though? There really was?
Oh, there really was damage. So I was thinking, you know, who's responsible and how we're going to get.
I got to ask, did you deal with that as counsel or not?
No, we had insurance, I think, so it was easy.
And you are, tell me what kind of law you practice. Do you still practice?
I still practice. I'm a commercial real estate lawyer.
And you, madam, your majesty, we were laughing at Costco Mexican cheese. What made you giggle about that?
I don't know much about the poultry business or industry. You know, I'm really only into horses, so I didn't know that chickens eat cheese.
I didn't either, honestly. You know, you could, matter of fact, you could lay your own omelet if you think about it.
That's right.
Tell me about what you hope to do, Your Majesty, the Queen of Carnival, after like this. Because what happens? I mean, you're Queen of Carnival, that's a pretty big deal, right? And the rest of your life is ahead of you.
I hope to start the job searching after Carnival and to graduate this semester from Arkansas. So,
what are you studying? Did I ask or not?
I'm studying communications.
Oh, Lord.
Right now. So,
right, Dad? Oh, Lord. Communications. Here we go. All right.
It's a broad, broad major. There's a lot I could do with it. I hope to get into the travel industry after studying abroad last year. I just have the travel bug, and I want to go everywhere and see everything now. So hopefully I can find a job that will help me accomplish that and help me help others accomplish their dreams of traveling abroad, because it really is a life-changing experience. And I found out that I was the Queen of Carnival while abroad, so that also holds a super close place in my heart.
This may be the best question you've ever heard or the dumbest question you've ever heard, but it never stopped me, so I'm going to go ahead. Do they teach it all in school? Because I get to thinking sometimes, you know, because I have a kid that's like 28, and I get to thinking, well, first it was TV, broadcast TV, well, radio, then broadcast TV, then we went to cable, now we're at streaming. At any point at Arkansas, did they talk about what's next beyond streaming or not? Or did that even come up?
They talk about a lot of forms of journalism, and I think the podcast thing is a lot what people are talking about, and streaming is a big part of that. I have friends who are into the whole streaming thing at Arkansas News Networks. But, you know, I like the media and I like the journalism stuff, but I like the traveling communications and kind of the more PR related and making connections and networking a lot.
What about the equine part of it? Would that be part of your life in the future or not?
You know, the equine industry is a very, very extensive industry. There's a lot of different jobs you can do in it. I think with the communications part of it, I'm limited in the amount of positions that I could find within that realm. I hope so one day, but I might have to set it aside for the time being and figure out my life from there on, and then maybe come back to it one day.
Suddenly it hits me. I've never heard a lady call a horse race. Have you ever heard that or not?
I haven't watched many horse races myself.
But it's just the Kentucky Derby. There's never one. King, Rex, no. Pardon me, Your Majesty Rex, King of Carnival. Do you plan on retirement soon, or do you plan on practicing law for a long longer?
I don't know what I would do if I stopped, and I love what I do, and I love the work I do, and I do legal work for some for nonprofits that don't show up on a resume, and I enjoy that. So at some point, yes, but not in the foreseeable future.
And did I see that with the Rex organization, you were getting bands?
I did, yes. I was in charge of getting the bands for the parade, and that was the best job I ever had in Rex because I started the parade. I would bring in the float and then the band. So I was right down at Napoleon and Claiborne. And I said I was one of the only Rex members who got to watch the entire parade and ride in it as well.
Yeah, the best job of all, huh?
I would be the last group of lieutenants, so it was wonderful. So
let's talk about the toast quickly if we can, too. Sure. The toast is going to happen this year where?
At Pascal Manalis is where the reviewing stand.
The reviewing stand, that's what I meant to say. Yeah, because there are numerous toasts along the route.
Yep.
But and you'll have your dresses all ready, I presume, fittings done and everything?
Yes, I'll be in a white suit tomorrow and a white hat, and I'll be at Pascal's Manalis. Hopefully it won't be too windy. I'm very confident that the weather and the parade will be great tomorrow.
Let me ask about throws, because I know you guys have some sustainable things that are going on. Who wants to talk about that?
Yeah.
Sure. So this year we've teamed up with a group called Grounds Crew, part of our larger effort. And it's not just the Rex Parade, but all the parading crews have been discussing it with each other annually through the Mayor's Mardi Gras Advisory Council to try and make Mardi Gras a little bit greener, get some of the pounds of plastics that end up in our catch basins from ending up there. So we've introduced some sustainable throws made by Grounds Crew that we also think the kids will love. So glitter kits, things that their parents can plant in the garden, sweet basil and seed packets, some coffee that was donated by Westfeldt Coffee Company that are in biodegradable bags. So just things that are all biodegradable that'll go in a large biodegradable bag that our members can throw from the float, which is a great way to carry around all the stuff you catch on Mardi Gras Day. And hopefully this just this continues our effort to try and keep the plastic waste down and introduce stuff that the kids are going to love.
What's ahead for Rex in 2025 with pro bono and some of the good works that are happening?
Well, continuing to support our public schools and the efforts and encouraging everyone else to. The grades keep going up, and it's just whatever the city needs, we want to be there to help them address it and keep the city getting better and better, safer. You know,
I'm going to make a prediction right now. You're going to go on to be the largest egg producer in the world, and you're going to crater the egg market because you're going to provide eggs to people for free that don't have any other food source.
I hope so. I would love that.
You, young lady, you are going to wind up revolutionizing the equine therapy. What's the word I'm thinking? I guess therapy, right? Equine therapy world. And then you'll be the first woman to win the Kentucky Derby on a horse.
That would be amazing. I would love to be a jockey, but it seems kind of terrifying at the same time.
Yes, yeah, I think it'd be terrifying as well. I can't thank y'all enough for coming in, really.
Thank you,
and congratulations, and have a great ride tomorrow, and avoid the wind. Give me one more Arkansas cheer before we go.
Ooh, Peg Sue.
And there you go, the Queen of Carnival and His Majesty Rex. Thank y'all for coming in. We'll take a break, come back, WWL. 9:44 Lundy Craw. Man, I'm telling you what, we had the King and Queen of Zulu, we had His Majesty Rex and the Queen of Carnival. Now we're talking of Grand Marshal from ALA, J.P. Morrell, all kind of royalty this morning. How you doing, J.P.?
I'm good, Tommy. How are you doing?
I'm all right. Let's talk about the weather and what you're hearing. It seemed as though I've run the gamut of emotions, J.P. It seemed as though earlier wasn't looking so good after talking to the Rex people, maybe looking a little bit better. Thoughts on what's going to happen tomorrow? And Zulu as well, saying that maybe a little bit different, maybe, but I don't know that anybody wants to speak out of turn. What are you hearing?
What I'm hearing is that the meteorologists are predicting some pretty significant weather, and that I know some other parishes have already canceled or postponed parades. I think that we are, as a city, doing wait and see, and that we'll know something better by this afternoon, but the weather is going to be inclement. It's going to be serious, and we're just trying to figure out a way to navigate through this without disappointing people. Because obviously, everyone waits all year for Zulu and for Rex,
right. And
it's difficult. We're going to figure it out, but I mean, the weather is a real significant concern, and the news about the weather is only getting worse as time goes by.
So with all that being said, no Mardi Gras in Metairie. Are you concerned with a big influx coming into Orleans Parish? Is that a concern?
Not really at this point. I mean, the reality is that we've had Mardi Gras days where it rains, and it does mitigate itself to some degree, Tommy. As you know, there are people that if the weather is inclement, they're not going out anyway. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, Mardi Gras is Mardi Gras. We always anticipate that it's going to be a blowout, largest crowd. It's the last day of Carnival. So, I mean, if the influx comes in from outside the city, we can handle it. We can handle any size of crowd. It's just an issue of making sure that the weather is not going to impact people's safety.
Saw a story at NOLA.com by Casey Bumnash about the crew of Chad, and then she talked about the crew of somebody else, and just people setting up all of this ridiculous stuff on a neutral ground. And I know after the Bourbon Street attack, there was some leeway, I guess, given and to the NOPD about enforcement. What's been your experience riding an ALA JP and your experience? Because what I'm thinking is, if you got 50 mile an hour winds and people are setting up tents, that's not going to be a good thing. Thoughts?
No, I mean, honestly, I think for the first weekend, the first couple of nights, that we saw people being pretty respectful and trying to be part of the solution, not part of the problem. Talking to my friends and my own experience on the route, it's gotten pretty bad this weekend. But the challenge we had was, in the council's communications with the police chief, we passed that ordinance giving discretion because that's what they requested, because we were trying to set expectations. I think there was a bit of a mixed messaging in that we tried to set expectations that NOPD would do what it could, and then the mayor during her Mardi Gras press conference said, we're tearing everything down. And
tearing everything down metaphorically or literally?
Literally. She said enforcement would be at an all-time high, and as you saw over the last couple of days, it hasn't.
No.
And so when you have that kind of mixed messaging, I think we were trying to set expectations as a council as to what the NOPD could do. I think the administration kind of gave the impression that they were going to be able to have robust enforcement. It didn't happen, and really it's going to be an issue for next year. I mean, the reality is, even as last year ended, this was never going to be what it needed to be, because it's not just NOPD. You have to sign a bunch of contracts, like with sanitation, disposal companies, and with tow trucks and other groups well before Mardi Gras to have robust enforcement, and the administration just didn't do any of that. So, I mean, my guess, Tommy, would be with a new administration next year, we will actually have the enforcement people expect that is robust and even-handed. And this year was kind of a bust on enforcement, in my opinion.
You know, I grew up here. I've been here my whole life. And what I see on social media, the pictures of ladders on St. Charles and the tarps, it seems to be incrementally, exponentially getting worse every year. Do you notice that or not?
Yeah, I mean, I'll give you an example. When we did the legislation banning tents, and I talked about all the tents, the poop tents, the porta potty tents being set up, people kind of laughed it off. Now you go on social media, and now that people are looking for it, they're like, holy crap, these tents do exist. They're all over the city.
Pardon the pun.
Right. So, I mean, so the issue is that it has gotten out of control. And like I said, we wouldn't have to have done all that legislation if people had just been reasonable. But the reality is, Tommy, people that are from here aren't like that. Most of the people that are putting up these tents and building these Taj Mahals, they're not New Orleanians. They're not even necessarily from Jefferson. These are people from around the country and around the state who they kind of descend on here, and kind of like Columbus discovering new country, just kind of scope out some land and claim it for themselves for the weekend. And I mean, people who grew up here, we know that's not really the meaning of Mardi Gras. I mean, during ALA, honestly, Tommy, it wasn't that bad. Mm-hmm. But then I was getting pictures from friends who are riding in Hermes or riding in Tux or the like, and they're like, no, once you got to the full Mardi Gras weekend, it's when those people kind of materialized out of the air, setting up their own little cordoned off spaces. But to your point, part of the reason why, not just for security post Bourbon Street, we have those restrictions in place is because during inclement weather, if your tent collapses on you, if your ladders fall over and hit your family, we can't get the people if the route is too congested. I mean, part of the whole reason we did some of those things was also because EMS and fire and police said some of the obstructions people put in for convenience and for their personal use, when something goes wrong, we can't get to the route to help people.
I saw pictures of ladders 3 and 4 rows deep jammed against each other, and I don't think you can get through that with a truck. And I'm not advising anybody do that. I'm just saying, to your point, JP, there's no need for it. It's not safe, and something's got to be done. I think it does anyway.
Yeah, I agree. But like I said, I think this is something that this year was disappointing. I think it's been kind of a bust, and I think it's an issue we'll deal with the next administration, with giving the departments who want to enforce the support they need to do robust enforcement. And I think that this administration really hasn't committed to doing robust enforcement, which is why an environment where everything is permitted has kind of, you know, been there and grown.
One thing the administration is committed to is travel. At least they were. Tell me what's going on with budgeting and money and all that stuff.
Well, we passed an ordinance that bans all unnecessary travel through the end of April. There were a couple of small carve-outs, one for state and federal money for grants, because there's some grants given to us by state and federal partners that require travel for departments like Department of Health and Hospitals. We also did a carve-out for employees of the airport because they have to travel in some instances. But for the most part, Tommy, it's a citywide ban on not just travel, but frivolous spending on food with credit cards, as well as rentals or leases of new cars, because, as you know, or you may not know, even as the administration was saying that we are struggling with money and we have the secret deficit that requires us to not pay our bills or pay the school board for the money it's owed, the administration was still trying to rent new cars. And the reality is that there's a disconnect between their messaging that we are in dire financial states and yet their robust spending habits that had not been curbed. So first thing we're starting with is travel for everyone. That's not just the mayor, it's the city council, it's all city employees. There's no unnecessary travel or expenditures. But if we don't get a plan from the administration, A, supporting a deficit exists, and B, a plan how we're going to budget cut for that deficit, the council is going to have to continue to go in and make cuts. And us doing cuts without information is doing surgery with the sledgehammer, but you've got the administration saying the sky is falling, but they have no plan on how to address it.
Somebody texted in, said they were riding in Toth yesterday, saw a pirogue on top of two ladders that was stretched the length of the pirogue. I wouldn't doubt it at all, JP. It wouldn't surprise me.
I've actually seen that before. But
so
yeah.
Look, I guess if it's not people from here and it's a council that has a pass at a new administration, you would think the voters would be for it of New Orleans, so maybe get something done, hopefully.
Yeah, I agree.
Thank you, sir. Have a good Mardi Gras.
You too.
J.P. Morrell, City Council Member, Grand Marshal of ALA, 953. Taking a break, coming back, WWL.